Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your host, your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And today's conversation is going to be a little different. You have seen his face more than once on this platform, but today is his first debut solo dolo on the Blemished Beauty Podcast. So tonight I have the pleasure of sitting down with Charlie Nice, and he is a poet, a prophet, and a dreamer. So we're going to talk to him. We are still in season four, talking about survivor stories. So we're going to dig a little deep into his life and all the things that he has survived. So after the interlude, I will bring to the stage Charlie Nice. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Shira.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How do you feel being on here without any other people? You're on here solo dolo. How you doing?
I feel weird. Ain't nobody to the left, nobody to the right, nobody up top.
So we're going to take it easy on you. Start off by telling the people who you are and what do you like to do?
Well, hello everybody out there in podcast land. My name is Charlie Nice. I'm a 40-year-old dad. You know what I'm saying? I got two boys. Love them. 15 and 9. They kill me, but you know what I'm saying? Gotta love the kids. I'm a poet. I write poetry in my spare time. By the bundles, baby. I got my times where I got my slumps, but then when the words hit me, I gotta put them on paper. You know what I'm saying? I'm just your average Joe, you know, cool off of social media. You know what I mean? So if you run into me, say hi. I'm going to say hi back to you.
So when did you start writing poetry?
I'm not going to lie to you. Around 8-9 years old, my elementary school had a poetry contest, and I just entered it. And I wrote a poem, and from there, I was just on it. Just writing here, but then I slowed down. You know what I mean? I guess I had a writer's block or something like that. I don't know why I slowed down, but then around the age of 15, everything just started hitting me all over again, and I was just writing. I was writing poetry for myself. I was writing poetry for people. You know, just writing. I had something to write about, I guess.
So you was, what do they call it, a ghostwriter? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, basically, pretty much writing love letters and shit. Getting people out of trouble. Yeah.
So we are in season four, and season four is all about survivor stories. And you know, usually, unfortunately for the men, they don't believe that you guys go through anything. You guys don't, you know, survive anything. You're just built for it tough. Y'all not supposed to cry. Y'all supposed to be just, you know, vibrato and strong. But I know personally, but the people don't know, you have definitely survived some things. So was your poetry, did it have anything to do with some of the things you survived, or was it just stuff straight off the dome?
I mean, you could say 50-50. Sometimes I would go through stuff and I'll write it down on paper. And then sometimes I would just go through it just to go through it, sup it up, teach it as a lesson not to do it again.
So what are some things, or maybe one thing, that you have survived either growing up or in your adult life that you would like to talk about?
There's many stories, but this one kind of haunts me to this day. It's about my dad. basically, last time I saw my dad, I was 8 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was a man in my mom's life who, you know, tried to take care of me. But the way how you try to love me was through abuse, because you abused her too. You abused everybody. So it kind of messed me up on how to take care of my kids, because when I hear, oh yeah, I'm a good dad, this, that, and the third, it kind of bugs me, because I don't think I'm a good dad, because I ain't had a good dad in my life. I didn't have that male figure in my life to show me how to do certain things, you know? So that kind of messes with me day in and day out. So, yeah.
So with your dad not being around, is that one of the reasons why you're so gung-ho with being present for your children now, because you know what that absence feels like?
Most definitely. Like, I can't leave my boys, man. I can't. I want to be there every day. Like, even when, like, it's a meeting at school or anything like that, I hear, like, I'm going. Because I want to know what's going on with my boys. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had that. And I'm not going to rob them of that. You know what I'm saying? So I got to be there.
Do you feel like, I know a lot of us, our community, we don't know about abandonment issues or rejection issues. Do you feel, now that you're older and hindsight being 2020, do you feel like you have dealt with that because of, you know, the lack of your father being there, his presence? Do you feel like you've dealt with rejection or abandonment issues growing up or currently?
To tell you the truth, I would shrug it to the side. I won't let it bother me. I mean, I would, but then again, I'll be like, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. I just can't sit here and sup up and be like, damn, why he don't love me, or why he not here, you know? I just can't sit here in one place. You know, the wheels in the sky gonna keep on turning. I gotta turn with it. I'm not about to sit here and be, you know, just sapped up in sorrow, pain, and hurt. I gotta live for another day. So I would hurt for a couple of days or so, and then I'll get up and shrug it off and keep on moving.
I'm glad that you said that, because usually when we hear about daddy issues, or, you know, the absentee feeling of a father, is usually with girls. So, you know, me personally, you know that I struggle with that. And I deal with that, you know, with my dad not being around the way that I want him to be around. Yeah. So that kind of definitely makes you hover a little more over your children, because you know what it's like to not have that presence, right? So yeah. Do you feel like, since he wasn't around, how did that affect your dating? Because you being a man and you saying he wasn't around to show you like man things, do you think that affected you personally as a man, like growing up and dating?
I mean, I had like my cousins and them, because I was a shy kid. And my cousins and them, they used to push me like to talk to females over. They're like, yo, man, nigga, you cute, man. You can talk to any girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be scared, you know what I mean? So I had people there to like guide me through dating, and my mom's too, you know. My mother would see me in the street talking to a girl. Oh, don't bring her in the house. She for the street. Keep her in the street. She can't come up in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm West Indian. You know what I mean? So it's like, my mother saw that. You know what I mean? My mother ain't having that. Oh, no, she's spending the night. She got to go home. Got to go home now. I'm like, no, you got to go. For real. Like, crazy.
I love it. I want you to tell the people, because I know the story, but I want you to tell the people how you got the name Charlie Nice. So she was talking about people pushing you and talking to girls. I want you to tell the people how you got the name Charlie Nice.
Well, all right. So basically, it's like two stories. I was Charlie Brown like 3 years. Well, my name is Charlie Brown, basically. I used to have that. But it was this guy in the hood, he was going around hurting people and doing a lot of BS, you know what I'm saying? So other people started looking for him. And I was like, oh no, nah, chill, that's not me. So I changed my name. Probably nice. You know what I'm saying? Me and my homies or whatever, we had went out one night and we was, you know, macking and hanging. And my boy saw me talking to this girl. He was like, yo, that nigga nice right there. I was like, say that again. That nigga nice. So I was like, Charlie nice. Charlie nice. Yeah. That's me.
That's hilarious. So you said that you're a shy kid. Do you still have your shyness now that you're an adult?
Yeah, I do. You just got to give me some time to warm up, baby. I'm like one of them old cars, baby. Got to sit in and go warm up.
And is that in general? Like, is just random? Like, when you meet people, is that dating? Is that just you in general? You're just a normal shy person?
Me in general, yeah. It depends. It depends on the situation. It depends on the situation. If it's for dating, yeah. If it's for like anything else, I don't know. It gotta be how the day going. Cause sometimes I'll go straight into it. Or if not, I'll just be sitting there like playing double dutch.
In your mind, battling in your mind. Should I say something? What should I say? Should I not say this? Or should I say that? And get it. So does your poetry, do you feel like Charlie Nice, would you say, because Charlie is not your name, we're not going to tell the people your name, but do you feel like Charlie Nice is your alter ego? You know how Beyonce has Sasha Fierce and Toni Braxton, she's normally shy, but when she gets on stage, she's just this sexy, sultry, you know, person. Do you feel like Charlie Nice is your alter ego, would you say?
Charlie Nice is the moneymaker. Mike is the one that got to cash the checks in. Put it like that.
So both of them are shy, or is it Mike that's shy and Charlie Nice is the one that will talk?
Charlie Nice is the one that'll talk. Mike is the shy one. But then, as I said, like, I got my days. You know what I'm saying? I can go straight into it as a whole person. Go straight into it and do what I got to do. As I say, it gotta be the vibe, like how I feel, how I wake up in the morning, basically, I guess.
So going back to, you know, your dad and the things that you've experienced, do you have conversations with your sons, you know, just about life in general? Like, what type of father are you? Because, you know, we grew up in a society where children should be seen and not heard. How do you incorporate your relationship with your children, since you've never had that, how do you establish your relationship with your children now that you're a dad?
Well, I have two boys, 15 Elijah and 9 Jeremiah. My 15-year-old, I'm putting trust in him because I'm trying to show him that, yo, I believe in you, you know? Every chance I get to tell them, I'll be like, yo, you could do anything that you want. You could be anything that you want to be. Don't let nothing stop your forward progress. You know, I know you know those words familiar. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I tell that to my boys too, because I don't want nothing hindering them, you know? I just want them to be strong-minded. I want them to have no fear. You know, I talk to them and I pour into them as much as I can. My 15-year-old, me and him, we kind of separating now. I don't like that, so I guess I'm gonna have to, you know, put my foot down in his ass. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want nothing happening to him. I don't want the streets to gobble him up, because the streets are deadlier. It's getting worse and worse, you know. But I'm happy that my 15-year-old is a homebody, so, you know, I don't got really nothing to worry about him. It's my 9-year-old. he all over the place. But, you know, his smile brightens up my sad days anytime, any day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm just proud of my boys. I'm happy that I have them here with me.
Yeah, those the last ones, they're not for the weak. Okay? Yeah. Like, I think God did that on purpose with the last borns, because if I would have had my youngest first, Mm-hmm. My oldest wouldn't be here. Like he would have been one and done because mm-hmm. that 5-year old, he's a piece of work. So I can only imagine. Like, but yeah, it's good to have that feeling with your kids. You know, I can relate to that. Nikki, she talks about her, shout out to Breaking the Silence podcast. She talks about her grandson all the time. You know, I think for people that have grown up like we grown up, it is an amazing feeling to have those little representations of us to keep us pushing and keep us going, because we didn't have that growing up. So having that now, you know, adults still need villages just like children. Yeah. And you know, it's good to have them as motivation. And I'm sure that they know the type of dad you are and they appreciate the type of dad you are, because a lot of dads aren't around. So I know that they are very appreciative to have you just a phone call away. Yeah. Both the 15-year-old. So yeah. Do you feel like your 15-year-old, do you feel like he is paying attention to what you say? Because our children, for some reason, don't believe that we were ever their age. And I know there's some things that you probably seen, like, okay, I've been through this. I've been 15. I know what you're going through. And he probably look at you like,
yeah, y'all, he's giving me that lost look. I mean, even if I got to beat it in his head 5, 10, 15 times a day, I'm just trying to get my point across. Like, I've been through this before. I know where you was at. Why you think you're here? I'm 40 years old. You want to see my ID? Like, I've been here already. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to let you know, if you do it my way, it's going to go smooth, nice and easy. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it your way, it's going to be the hard way, you know? And then you're going to learn, you know?
Do you ever have moments when you're talking to, because this happens to me all the time, you ever have moments when you're talking to your children and you hear your mother? Like something?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Hell yeah. That West Indian come out. What? All the time. Because I ain't going to lie to you, I was the hard-ass kid. I was hard-ass. Even though, like, my mom wasn't there, but when I got in trouble in school or anything like that, whoo, that woman standing right there with that belt in her hand. I was like, shit. How did you get here so fast?
Don't worry about that, sweetheart. She's there. All right.
Born.
I definitely see, like, I'll hear things that I've said, and I'm like, oh my God, I sound,
yeah,
like,
I sound just like my mom.
Like, and I just be like, I just start laughing because it amazes me how, you know, history repeats itself. I think mm-hmm. I was talking to Nikki on her show, and we was just talking about certain things growing up. Oh, we was talking about church and just going to church and having to listen to them hymnals, and then now that you're an adult, those words and the lyrics in the hymnals, you actually understand, and you're just like, oh, it hits a little different now that you're older. So hopefully when the boys get older, they will understand, because we didn't understand at their age, but we understand now, mm-hmm. especially having the type of mothers that we had. Do you ever have conversations with your mom now that you're a parent? Has that strengthened y'all relationship? Because I know for me, now that I'm a mom, I give my mom more grace, because I understand, you know, some of the things our parents do. Like you said, your mom wasn't around because she worked, right? Mm-hmm. So growing up, you probably felt some type of way that she wasn't there. But now that you're older, you understand that that was a sacrifice that she had to make to take care of you. So do you guys have conversations now that you're a parent? You have those one-on-one adult conversations where you tell her, like, I understand, Ma, I got you. Like,
I'll be talking to my mom like, yo, I don't know how you dealt with us. 'Cause we was a piece of work and I got two pieces of work. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I talked to my mom about it, and you know, she sees my struggle or whatever, but she pushes me and tells me, yo, don't stop fighting. Don't stop fighting. 'Cause you got it, 'cause I had it. So, you know, you got it too. You know, you're a piece of me. So, you know, you got it, Michael. Keep working, keep working, keep working. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then she'll just give me that look like, I'll be like, all right. Damn, right.
She gonna show up again.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, she looked right through me on that one. I'd be like, all right, mom, I got it.
But I love that she said that to you. She said, you got a piece of me. Because if you feel like she was the epitome of strong, right? Mm-hmm. Or she was this great thing, if you even have a piece of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That should be enough to keep you going when your days feel tough. And then you should, you know, in progress, tell your boys the same thing, because not only do they have a piece of you, but they have a piece of her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, on those days when I'm pretty sure these 15-year-olds now, they have it way worse than we did. Yeah. Their loads are really heavy, because when we were in school, the stuff that we did stopped the end of school day. Exactly. Now they have social media. So the bullying is in the cyber world now. You can text, everything is like in a nanosecond. So the level of stress is way worse than what we thought stress was. Yeah. You know, bullying is not the same like we had it. The bully, you would see them again the next day, but they could still be bullied even after school. And then like, it's just really, really terrible.
Yeah, but like I asked my 15-year-old if he was being bullied in school. He was like, "Nah, Dad, nobody messing with me." I was like, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about."
You're such a man. That's such a man answer.
And then my 9-year-old, I'm like, "Yo, anybody bullying you? You all right?" He was like, "Yeah, Dad, you know who I am. I'm the prince, baby." I'm like, "All right, cool. All right."
But you have to do check-ins, because they internalize a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they will tell us. So, you know, if we ask, I'm pretty sure we have the type of children that will tell us. But, you know, if we don't ask, they'll just internalize it. So it's good that you have the constant dialogue. So does your poetry now for you, because you said you had a stint when you started at 8. Then when you were 15, you was just like writing. Now that you're 40, how is your writing process now? Do you still write, or is it slow? How is it?
Tell you the truth, it's like I would get these urges, and I'll be at work, stuff come to me, and I'll just start writing. I'll have to stop myself because I'll write my damn shift off. But when I read my stuff now and I look at my poetry from back then, I will be like, wow, back then I was powerful as hell. Now, to me, it's very bland. It's kind of lackluster. I don't know why. Maybe it's me, because I could read a poem from back then and I read you something now, you'd be like, oh.
So do you think maybe, well, I would, you know, I have a visual. So like, if you say, for example, let's talk R&B really quick.
All right, cool.
Somebody's first album is always, that first album is always the best.
Because they're hungry.
Exactly. They're hungry. So it's like, I guess it's the same thing with your writing, right? So when you started fresh out the gate at, you know, 8 years old, you were just like, oh, you know, you were full. Now it's like you need that motivation, which is kind of backwards, because now that you're older, you would think that life and experience would give you that to write more, to be in depth, but it's not like that. So maybe life and experience has drained you. So now you have to find things to ground you so you can get back to it. Because when you were 8, you didn't have that.
I was thinking that, like, damn, maybe I am, like, trained, but I still want to write. So I don't know. I got to find my niche, I guess.
So when you said, like, say, for example, you was writing at work, right? And you had to stop because your break was over. Can you go back like say you get off work and you want to go back to it, can you immediately go back to it?
And still
continue?
Oh no, that's not the thing. Like I will write, and next thing I know, I look, an hour passed, 2 hours passed. I'm like, yo, I gotta finish work. Let me stop writing. Yeah, my mind will be overflowing. And then what, like after I finish work, it's gone. I lost it. So I have to find a way to keep all of those words. Like maybe I gotta speak it.
I was just about to say, you're gonna have to like do like a voice thing. Yeah.
Maybe I gotta speak it, you know, and then put it in words and you know, be like, oh, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to do voice text and yeah. Just do it in your notes and just write it down, or while you're working, do like a video and just record yourself and just get it all out. You get home in time, then you can write it out on paper.
Yeah,
that's what you're gonna have to do.
That's what I'm gonna start doing too.
So now this is Nikki's favorite part of the episode. This is the last statement. I want you to inspire a young man who may be watching this, or maybe a single mom who has boys and she doesn't have that male figure around to encourage her boys or whatever the case may be. I want you to speak to the young men out here of the world today. Maybe the mom can play this for their sons, or the boys might be listening. Just something that you would have told yourself, your younger version, when you were 15 and you was writing. Give the people a little mentoring from you now compared to how you was when you were 15.
Okay, sounds like a lot, but let me see if I can catch everything. If I could tell my 15-year-old something, well, if I was, well, I see my 15-year-old self, I'll tell him, you know what I mean? Like, you could do it. You're going to make it. Everything going to be all right. You know, just don't second guess yourself. You're smart enough to do what you got to do, you know, so do it. For my sons, I love y'all. Y'all know daddy here, one call away, you know, all day, every day. I'm going to show up, drop everything. For my single moms out there, I'm sorry that you're going through what you got to go through. You know, your other half was a dick. And you know what I mean? Like, just take care of your kids the best way you can. You know, you got to put those dad pants on. All right, cool. Go ahead. Don't complain. Do what you got to do, man. Don't give up. Because you don't want your kids going out in the streets and then the streets got to raise them, you know? Because if the streets raise them, they're going to end up in two places, that jail cell or that coffin. I know you ain't going to want that. That's a waste of time. You know what I mean? You can find me on Facebook, Charlie Nice Nice, or you can find me on IG, Product of the 718.
Well, I appreciate you for coming on here, finally giving me a solo episode and not just a round table. I appreciate you coming on here and owning your scars.
You're welcome.
So you guys, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And as always, I want you to remember that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world, and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.